and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
But I want to talk about how we feel about today. And I don't mean the 2nd of June 2019. I mean... Good? Okay. Anyone else need a shot before I carry on? So... Hold on. It's better. Oh. I mean Sunday. How do you feel about a Sunday? Some of you woke up this morning, I guess most of you woke up this morning and made a decision, a choice to gather. There might be one or two younger people in here who are here because your parents made you come to church. And I want you to know that that's a good thing. You might not think so at the moment, but there was something instilled in me as I was dragged to church most of the time I was growing up. And to be honest, the church I grew up in wasn't like this. This is an incredible church. But I was dragged to church, but it instilled something of a love and a loyalty for God's house. And it put something in me that can actually never be taken away. And even though I left church, I didn't leave church because I didn't like church, and I didn't leave church because I stopped believing in God. I left church because I didn't think God believed in me. And I'm not going to talk about that, but... if you're here and you're a young person and your parents have brought you along, they are doing a good thing, can I say you? You might not believe it now, but somewhere along the line, you will look back and go, thanks, Mum and Dad. Or thanks, Mum, or thanks, Dad, for bringing me to church, because I didn't realize what it was instilled in me in those early years. So you made a choice to gather with the church. Heard a couple of stories of people in my church in Newcastle a few weeks ago about such a thing. And one of them was a first timer, and they'd come along and they literally walked through the door, started crying, and cried the whole way through the service because they couldn't explain it, but there was something that was going on inside, and there was something about the environment that they walked into. And they didn't have the words and they couldn't articulate it, but God was doing something in them at that time. There was another younger woman who's very close to Dee and myself, and she's not a younger woman. She got involved in a relationship and she thought it was a Christian, he was a Christian guy, but she made a really difficult choice to come out of this relationship because they both had completely differing views on the value of God's house. He wasn't interested. He thought, I can go along, I can take it or leave it, it doesn't matter to me. But she had seen what God's house had done in her life over the years. And so she placed high value on being there. And she made a choice of not being in a relationship that she really wanted, because there was such a differing view, and she knew that at some stage it would cause so many problems. And I know in a room like this that the choice for some of you to be here may not have been an easy one. Maybe it was through sickness and you've come here and you just don't feel well. Maybe some of you are going through grief for whatever reason. Maybe there's broken relationships that you're dealing with. Maybe even mental health issues that you are suffering from. But you've made a choice to walk through the door. See, one of the things, and we were discussing this earlier on, and it's amazing the amount of times that I hear the story. You know, I came to church and I got to the door, but I just couldn't go in. There was something, you know, anxiety caused me to go home. See, I think we have an enemy. You don't have that problem when you walk to Sainsbury's store. I just got to the door of Sainsbury's and I realized I had such an anxiety about walking into the freezer section. And I don't want to make fun of mental health, but I want you to see what it is. And the reality is, there's an enemy that we have that will seek to keep us out of community. You see, one of the antidotes for mental health issues, anxiety attacks, panic attacks, all of this stuff is community. That's one of the researched antidotes to mental health issues is community. And if our enemy can keep us from being in community, it makes the mental health issues bigger than Jesus. This isn't in my notes, so maybe it's for one or two of you that need to hear this. If you have a problem every time that you come to church, it's not just an ordinary mental health issue. It's the enemy using that to keep you from being in the place where there's going to be wholeness and healing in your life. Maybe for one or two of you, it's guilt from what you did last night. You know where you were last night. And the last thing you want to do is walk through into a place where the conviction of the Holy Spirit is going to hit you. But you've still chosen to be here. One or two, it might be the expense of getting here. We have people in our church and they make the choice to go without in certain areas so that they can be in church on Sunday. Maybe for one or two of you, if there was offers of other things that you could do today. Going to the cinema with friends, playing golf, although I'm not sure I'd want to play in this weather. Whatever it is, there's always something that would seek to draw us away from being in God's house on a Sunday. Some of you are not coming because you want to. Some of you are coming because you just know it's the right thing to do. If I could speak into that situation. Firstly, let me say that being here because it's the right thing is the right thing. That you don't always have to live your whole life with a passion that rises up for being in God's house. Sometimes you are just here because it is the right thing to do. Sometimes you eat broccoli, not because you love broccoli, but because you know it does you good. Doing what is right is not always easy. Sometimes we have to go against what we feel to do the right things. Go against our anxieties and worries and fears and do the right thing despite some of those. This morning I started speaking about joy. About joy based on being in relationship, being loved and being accepted. And the problem is, as followers of Christ, we forget our joy. We allow time to diminish it, sin to cover it, circumstances to hide it, or entitlement to reduce it. And I wanted to speak tonight on the same subject, the subject of joy, if I may. Let me read a scripture, 1 Chronicles 16, 27. It says this, splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. You see, it says there that joy is in his house, his dwelling place, this place where we are. Yes, I know as individuals, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Jesus lives in us, but there is something significant when we come together. There is something significant about the body of Christ joining together in one place at one time. Joy is in this place. You might be thinking, well, today that's not my experience. I don't feel that at this moment in time. But just because it's not your experience this evening does not negate the truth of the verse. Let me explain. I do fitness training fairly regularly. I do not feel fit and healthy before, during, and after any of the sessions that I participate in. Very often, I don't even enjoy doing it. I don't feel great after it, but I know it does me good. But over a period of time, when I persist in it, and when I make it my habit, it changes me. I find that I have become more fit and more healthy, not because I've done one training session, but because I've done many, 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 many training sessions over a period of time. And here's another thing, just an aside. I always find it easier when I train with others. But I always find it easier than that when I actually contribute to the training myself, when I'm there encouraging other people, or when I'm actually producing the workout plan for other people to do. See, when I contribute, I feel I'm more inclined to be there, more inclined to be part of it. I don't have an excuse, or I can't think of any excuses why I shouldn't be there. And just because I don't feel fit and healthy during a workout doesn't mean to say I'm not becoming more fit and more healthy over a period of time. So today, I want to bring some truth around today, Sunday, what we could call, if we want, our Sabbath. Psalm 119 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made." Some of you older Christians will remember a song that we used to sing around that. "This is the day." Hey, I won't go into that. See, rejoicing is the action of taking joy in something, and it is a choice, not a response to a feeling. You see, I don't rejoice because I feel something. I rejoice because it's my choice to rejoice in something. In James, it says, rejoice in our suffering. Yeah, I don't feel good about suffering. I don't think many of us do, do we? We don't feel good about the suffering in any way, shape or form. But James says, rejoice in it. Because something happens during that suffering. There is a production line that happens. And so there's a choice. Rejoicing is a choice of taking joy in something. And therefore, we have a choice to rejoice in today. Can we find joy in the Sabbath? You see, God gave us today as a gift, not just a command. Jesus said it was made for our benefit. We weren't made for the benefit. And I know he was addressing some stuff that was going on and some bad theology by the Pharisees. But he was saying it's a gift. It was made for our benefit. So when we partake, when we do what the Bible says around the Sabbath, there's a benefit to our lives. See, the Jews actually build their life around the Sabbath. I don't know if you've thought about it in this way. I know that there's a lot of misconceptions that we have around Jews and even around the Pharisees about how bad they were. The Pharisees love God. Let's get that straight. They just forgot to love people. And they were so focused on some of the laws that they forgot that the laws were made for the benefit of the people, not the people for the benefit of the law. But the Jews build their life around the Sabbath. They call it an uncoupled day. I love that phrase because it means it's uncoupled from the routine. It's uncoupled from the building of their business, from their production of their lives. It's a day that's set aside for their benefit. Maybe we need to think about a Sunday as an uncoupled day. See, the Sabbath, we're called to remember the Sabbath. Exodus 20 says this, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you should do labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns." Why do you think it goes through all that? Because we love workarounds, don't we? We love to think, well, it doesn't say that, so I can get away with that. Do you know when you go into an aircraft toilet now and it has the smoke detector? They've had to change the sign on the smoke detector about 5 or 6 times. And now it says, I can't remember the exact signage, but it says, "Do not tamper, break, cover, or remove this smoke detector." Why? Because if it said don't tamper with it, someone would remove it. I'm sure in a year or so, there'll have to be another few things that are added because we've done a workaround on that. See, we love the workarounds. That's why God is saying, hey, no one, You can't get away with it by doing all your servants to do your work. The Sabbath is an uncoupled day for you. For 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that it is with, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So remember the Sabbath. It is the Jewish day of rest. So does that mean we need to go back to the Jewish way of doing things of 6 p.m. sundown on a Friday to sundown on a Saturday and make that the law? But, you know, I thought we were under grace, not law. We don't need to do any of that anymore. So what does that commandment mean to us? It means that there needs to be a cessation of the stuff of our life, an intermission, a place where we just breathe, where we stop doing the things that we normally do. And you know, I know that there's people in this room that possibly have to work shifts, and you know, we have a lot of within our church, and I'm sure we have people here, doctors and nurses, and that stuff has to carry on. But is there an uncoupled day that we have where we take that day and we don't make it about ourselves? It's a day that's uncoupled, because 6 days we have to make our life work. But then there's a day that we uncouple and say, this is not about me. This is not about the things that I can do or that we can do to make life happen, the things that we fill our life with. Remember, as I was doing the prep for this message a couple of weeks ago, and I got up early on a Sunday and everything was going round in my head, and I you know, I'd putting it all down on paper and on the Sunday morning, and I'd remembered that I'd actually got up and put a load of washing in. See, I'm not being legalistic about it, but I put the washing in because I hadn't planned on the Saturday. I didn't need to do it on the Sunday, but because I hadn't planned, I wasn't feeling guilty about it, but it just made me think, what else do I do that I could do on the other days that I just leave to Sunday because I haven't planned and I haven't uncoupled that day from everything else? I don't feel guilty about it, but I just thought, I need to make a choice that I don't do the things on a Sabbath or a Sunday or that uncoupled day that I actually could do very easily with a bit better planning the rest of the week. So what do we cease? We cease what we fill our life with. We cease what makes our life work. You see, and we could make the Sabbath or the Sunday, we could do the same thing to a Sunday that the Jews or many of the Jews have done to their Sabbath, where it becomes a time of legalism. They have 39 forbidden acts. Did you know that? 39. And they are split into four different orders. There is the order of the bread. No planting, no reaping. There's the order of the garments. No sewing more than 2 stitches. No tearing, no weaving. There's order of hides. No trapping, no smoothing. And there's order of construction. No writing, no lighting of fires, which means no turning on of light switches. So if you go into a Jewish community, they will have set up workarounds for this, or the lights just don't go on the whole time. No building, no demolition. And they've made it quite a legalistic thing because that's what we do. Can't blame the Jews for that. How many legalistic things do we have in our own life? But they've forgotten that it was for their benefit. What do we forget is for our benefit? And the problem is that there are so many injunctions that people live in fear of breaking them. But we will never find joy in the have-tos or the have-nots. But we have to find out how to take joy in our Sabbath. So remember the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Holy doesn't mean, it's not a list of things not to do. Holy is something that's set apart. It's a day that is devoted, given over to. There's a purpose about it. So keep it holy. And it says, remember to keep it holy to the Lord. So it's not just set apart for anything. It is set apart with a focus towards God. I want us to think, have we made Sunday our day instead of God's day? And you think, well, no, I haven't because I come to church. Great. But you can still come to church and have made it about you, my style of worship, me time, the worship I like, my ministry, my gifts. You see, anywhere where we put my in there, we've actually taken the focus of keeping it holy for the Lord and we've made it holy for ourselves. You still with me?
Yeah.
Am I still your friend? So we remember to keep the Sabbath holy. The Bible gives us two reasons to remember the Sabbath. Exodus 20 tells us that we use it. It is to remind us of our Creator, to remind us who and where we came from. I love listening and reading Ravi Zacharias, who's an incredible apologist. He says that there are four questions that every worldview must answer. It doesn't matter whether it's Hindu, whether it's atheist, whether it's Christian. There are four questions we all must be able to answer. It's questions of origin, where we come from. Questions of meaning, why are we here? Questions of morality, how do we actually live together without killing each other? Questions of destiny, where are we going? See, the Sabbath should remind us of our origin. Where do we come from? And I'm not just talking about, you know, whether it's the old earth, young earth, evolution, intelligent design. I'm not talking about that, but where we came from, who designed and created us? Because where we know where we came from and who we came from, then we begin to know our value, our meaning, and our purpose in Him. And so the Sabbath reminds us of God's covenantal. Covenant is a promise. It's a legal promise made between two people. So it reminds us of God's promise towards us. I will keep you. I'll never leave you. I will love you. I will never forsake you. I will forgive you. I will bring you back to myself. When we remember the Sabbath, when we set it apart as holy to the God, when we don't make it about ourselves, we're reminded of God's promise to us. And so we're reminded where we came from and who we came from, but we're also reminded that our Creator is the one that set us free. Deuteronomy 5, verses 12 to 15 says this: observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Very similar to what we've already read. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, your son, daughter, male or female servant, your ox, your donkey, or any of the other animals. Again, everyone's looking for a workaround. It doesn't say donkey in there. What about dog? Doesn't mention dog. I can get my dog to carry my stuff. Nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. See, when we live in freedom like we do, it's easy to forget. We have no problem coming to church. We have the stuff of life. The buses don't turn up on time. Maybe our car's broken down. But we don't have police rushing in here to pull us out because we're in church. We were talking about being in China and what it, I guess, some of the stuff that goes on there. And knowing that maybe that as they sit in church, they know that there's a potential that the police are going to come in and take them away because they're sat in church. You see, we don't think about that stuff because we don't have to. When you live in freedom, you don't think about the fact that you live in freedom. How many of you think about breathing? You think about breathing when you have trouble breathing, don't you? You begin to think about breathing when you have shortness of breath. You see, when we live in freedom, we take everything for granted, but when we have a Sabbath, it reminds us who we came from, But it reminds us that who we came from actually bought us the freedom that we have to meet together in this place. Freedom from slavery of forced labor. See, we're not slaves. We're no longer slaves in this country. But what about being slaves to the latest fads and fashions? Slaves to keeping up with our colleagues and friends in terms of materialism. Slaves of going to Instagram the first thing on a morning to see how many likes that we have, or off Facebook to see who's commented on the latest post that we've made. See, I'm sure when you begin to think through some of that, there's most of us can say, yeah, I probably am in a bit of slavery. But when we keep the Sabbath, when we uncouple the Sabbath from the rest of the week, and it's not about us, the very fact that we do that reminds us that we live in freedom, that we're no longer slaves. Romans 6, 20 to 23 says this: when you were slaves to sin, you were free from obligation to do right. What was the result? You are now ashamed of the things that you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. You see, we were all slaves to sin. But when we uncouple a day and give it to God, it reminds us of what he's done for us. It reminds us that we are no longer slaves to sin, no longer under the power of sin. Yes, we still sin. Maybe think of it this way. When you change, so if a French person comes from France and lives in England and changes their nationality, they may visit France, but they're not French anymore. And it's the same thing with sin. We may sin, but we're not under the power of sin anymore. Not only remember that we are free from the power of sin, but we also remember who bought our freedom and how it was bought. See, freedom never comes free. There is always a cost to freedom. In our own country, when slavery was abolished, and in the US, when slavery was abolished, there was a fight. There were people that laid down their lives to bring about us coming out of the legal aspect of slavery. People fought with their lives for others' freedom. As we uncouple a Sabbath day, we remember that our freedom from sin was bought with the life of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 7 says this: you were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. See, when we're owned, the value of our life is not the value that we place on it. Because the reality is, on a Monday morning after I've had a really bad game of golf, the value of my life is quite low. But it doesn't matter how I feel about my golf game. It doesn't matter how you feel about your life. The value that is placed on your life is an absolute value, not a feeling value. See, a £5 note, doesn't matter whether you crush it up, put it in the mud, even half burn it. It is still the value of the owner of the £5 note, which is the crown. I promise to pay the bearer of this the sum of £5. You see, the value that's placed on your life is not how you feel. It's not about how many Instagram likes you have. It's not about whether your neighbor likes you, whether they value, whether your husband or wife values you, whether your parents value. It is the value that Christ, who laid down his life in love for us, that's the value that is placed on our life. You see, when we uncouple the Sabbath, when we make it not about ourselves, but about Jesus, we are reminded of who our Creator is. We are reminded of what He did for us, and we are reminded of the value that He's placed on our lives, that there is a value that's placed of His life on our life to bring us freedom. That then defines how we live. And morality doesn't come from what society says our morals should be, which changes from one day to the next. And morality comes from the one who paid a price for us, an absolute value. In Mark 2, Jesus reminded his disciples of the day that the Sabbath was made, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. See, and I believe that on a day like today, it doesn't matter how you feel. You can still find joy in the Sabbath. See, if I think about it this way, if I was the enemy of your life, and I wanted you to be ineffective as a Christian, but there's nothing I could do to stop you being a Christian. There's nothing I could do to take you away from being a follower of Christ, but I wanted to make you ineffective. Here's what I'd do. I'd make you feel worthless. There's nothing I can do. I'd make you feel worthless, and even in your freedom, I'd make you feel like a prisoner. Have you ever thought of the verse, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free"? We sing songs with that line in it, don't we? We say the verse, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free." I don't get it. Well, surely it was. What does that mean? Surely He just set us free. No, it was for us living in freedom that Christ has set us free. See, too many of us have the prison doors open and we're sat in the cell feeling like we're prisoners. But God's gone, no, hold on. It was for freedom that I've set you free. I've opened the doors of the prison. You are choosing to live like a prisoner, even though you're free. I'd make you feel worthless. I'd make you feel like a prisoner in your life. And I'd keep you away from the place where the word of God is preached, where people are going to encourage you, where the songs that you sing are going to move you forward, going to take your focus from your own self onto Jesus. I'd keep you away from that place by making you feel worthless, by making you feel like no one likes you, by making you feel like an outsider. Do you know, I can pretty much imagine that 95% of you feel like misfits in this place. I do. Every place I go, I feel like a misfit. I don't fit there. Yet I still choose to be there. I don't know. For me, I felt too young to be a pastor. And then one morning I woke up and I felt too old. I was like, hold on a second. There must have been about 10 minutes where I was just the right age. What? Did I miss that? I felt like a misfit because I was too young. Then I felt like a misfit because I was too old. I don't know what's going on. But I choose not to be defined by how I feel in an environment. If I was your enemy, I'd keep you away from the very place that would do you good. Church should be the best place to have your worst day. But it also should be the best place to have your best day. The day when you realize it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Because when we gather together, we're reminded that we're not some random chance happening, but we are created beings made in the very image and likeness of God. We're free from the consequence of sin. We are free because there was a price and a value paid by Jesus on my life. It doesn't matter whether I feel worthless. The price of the life of the Son of God is on my life. See, we have value. You have value. And when we walk in this place and we gather as a church, we are reminded of our purpose and value. And I think that should bring us joy. We don't just gather because we're a church and it's the right thing to do. Yes, It is the right thing to do. And if that's how you feel, keep doing it because it's the right thing to do. But somewhere along the line, we got to get a hold of the truth that we are in this place and we're in this place and we're reminded of who our Creator is. We're reminded of who brought us freedom. We're reminded that Jesus died and placed value on each and every one of our lives because of His sacrifice. And that should bring us joy. See, not every Sunday is a day when we flounce into church. Like Michael McIntyre as he flounces across the stage. Some Sundays we're going to drag our sorry butts into church. And it's going to be like, God, you got to do something. But every Sunday we turn up is a day we have obeyed God and we are doing ourselves good. See, I want us here in Valley Church to be a church where we find joy in God's presence. A place where we can echo what King David said in Psalm 122. It says this, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever thought about who was saying that and just the verse itself. See, someone said to David, let's go to the house of God. And maybe that was a day when David was thinking, I just want to pull the covers over my head and I pray everyone that's trying to kill me just dies. Have you ever read some of David's Psalms? God, I wish you would smash their teeth. Now, obviously, you guys would never have a day like that, but there are times when Ed and I have those days about you. Not you guys, just David Scholes over here. But it's true, isn't it? You see, sometimes we are King David, where we just need someone to go, hey, let's go. We're going to church. I don't feel like it. I don't care what you feel. You see, the very fact that you don't feel like church means that you need to be in church. The very fact that you want to curl up, pull the duvet over your head, go back to sleep, means that you need to be in an environment where people are going to praise God and they're going to take the focus off themselves. We're going to uncouple that day from the production of life and we're going to focus on Jesus. You see, sometimes we're David, where we have people that say that to us. But there are other times when we need to be the other person. Hey, I'm going to pick you up. I don't care what you feel like. We're going to church. We had that a couple of weeks ago, and someone was saying to me, yeah, I rang her up. I knew she wasn't feeling great, but I just told her I'm picking her up and I'm going to take her to church. She told me she wasn't coming. I told her I was going to be there in 10 minutes and she better be up. She wasn't up, so I got her up and I brought her to church. See, sometimes with David. Sometimes with a person that's saying, let's go. In the words of Mark Knopfler, sometimes with a windshield and sometimes with a fly. But there are times, and that's why community works. Because sometimes we do feel like David, where it's like, everyone's trying to kill me. And there are other times where it's like, no. I choose to get over how I'm feeling maybe, and I'm going to pick you up and I'm going to bring you to a place where I know it's going to do us both good because we're reminded of our Creator. We're reminded of our freedom. We're reminded of the value placed on our lives because we have chosen to uncouple this day. It's not just a Sunday. It's a Sabbath, not a legalistic Sabbath, not where we have 39 rules and laws about the things that we can't do, but where we take time to uncouple and go, God, my focus is not myself. My focus is you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.